A frequent guest on Issues Etc., Aaron Wolf, died on Easter Sunday, April 21st, 2019. Learn how you can support Aaron's widow and his six children at issuesetc.org/AaronWolf. In his memory, we present this Issues Etc. encore. Demonstrators in Paris demonstrating after the massacre of 12 people at a satirical paper called Charlie Hebdo. They're chanting, "I am Charlie." It's a note of solidarity for the freedom of speech. But does it necessarily follow that in order to support freedom and freedom of speech, or even written larger, in order to oppose those massacres and the terrorism and the worldview behind him, you have to say, "I am Charlie." You have to essentially throw yourself in with a satirical paper that has managed, by design, to at least attempt to offend almost every sensibility, including those of every religion, as a matter of daily publication. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., live this Friday afternoon, January the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Aaron Wolf is going to join us, Associate Editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, to talk about the Paris attacks, freedom of speech, and Western liberalism. A little bit later, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is going to, she's going to react to something that was recently stated by potential GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush on same-sex marriage. He's kind of backed off his previous position. Now that he has a presidential run in mind, he's saying that we ought to respect those who want to get married, same-sex marriages, and we ought to be nice to everybody. A kind of a neutral position, or at least he's attempting a neutral position. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse thinks about that a little bit later on this Friday afternoon. Chris Roseborough joins us after that. It's a big week in pop American Christianity, coming off the Christmas holiday where megachurch pastor Perry Noble had a sermon on the Ten Commandments that he claims God gave him to preach. And an error has been discovered, not just an error, pretty central error in that particular sermon, and he is doubling down. And Chris Roseborough says, well, if God gave him that sermon to preach, he has to double down, even if he's wrong, even if he's contradicting Holy Scripture. It'll be This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough, and that will lead us up to Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. Usually, we do Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, but at the beginning of every new year, we take the top vote getters from Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, five soundbites through the course of 2014. We play them for you again, and your vote gets to decide which of them will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year. We'll be giving away all of our Issues Etc. Books of the Month and the LPR Bundle Package to the best voter when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year in the last half hour of Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, January the 9th. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @IssuesETC. You can vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Year at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about the Paris attacks, freedom of speech, and Western liberalism, Aaron Wolf. He's a regular guest, associate editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, and author of a recent column for Chronicles titled Reaping the Whirlwind with Charlie Hebdo. Aaron, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, if you don't stand in solidarity with Charlie Hebdo, the satirical Paris newspaper, satirical Paris newspaper, not only are you against free speech, but the terrorists win. And you may be as bad as the terrorist who went in there and tragically killed those cartoonists.
See, old he who frames the question wins the debate, I think. You know, and first of all, I'm not just like the Muslim terrorist. However, I'm not sure I believe in freedom of speech the way that they tend to use it. And standing in complete solidarity with these cartoonists, these blasphemous cartoonists, not just toward Muhammad, but toward the Holy Trinity as well. Standing in solidarity with them is not the same thing as saying that it is awful and regrettable and terrible that they were murdered.
So what's wrong here? You say in your recent column, Reaping the Whirlwind with Charlie Hebdo, that really this is an example of two intolerant worldviews, Islam and Western liberalism, trying to occupy the same space. Explain that for us.
Yes, and see, this is not the way that the typical Muslim frames the scenario. They would say it's Islam versus Christianity. But the West has abandoned Christianity. You know, the European Constitution won't even make reference to a Christian heritage, and certainly here in the United States, which is part of the West, we have we're doing everything we can to take out any even vestigial reference or allusion to a divinely established foundation for the morality that our government seeks to protect and preserve. And so when we talk about what's going on in the West, in places like France, we're seeing the ideology of Western liberalism with its own sort of message of what is sacred, and that includes free speech. It includes, paradoxically or contradictorily, no hate speech. I mean, those two right there don't go together. And yet, these are the kinds of things. No racism, no bigotry, no distinctions of class. All of these principles that really kind of came out of the French Revolution and the philosophy of the Enlightenment, and I use the term Western liberalism sort of as a catch-all for it. But that is what is in conflict with Islam. And what's happening is Western liberalism has no ability, really, to say no to the immigration of these Muslims from the Third World, and now Francis, somewhere between 7.5% and 10% Muslim, and growing as all the major capitals of Europe have these Sharia zones and large numbers of Muslims, and Western liberalism as an ideology, as a pseudo religion, really cannot say no to them because it means discrimination, and not discriminating is one of the cornerstones of Western liberalism. And yet, at the same time, they can't say no to the kinds of incendiary things like Charlie Hebdo that provoke those very people to follow their own traditions and commit horrible crimes like the one we just witnessed.
The knee-jerk reaction has been, at least in the Western media, to say, look, if the Muslims kill cartoonists at Charlie Hebdo because of a cartoon or multiple cartoons depicting Muhammad offending the Islamic sensibilities, then the Western press's obligation now is to openly publish all of Charlie Hebdo's cartoons, those and every other one, including those that blasphemously depict Christ, the Trinity. You name it. We have to do it. We may not like it, but we have to do it for the sake of the freedom of speech. And you actually gently take to task none other than National Review for jumping on that knee-jerk bandwagon.
Yes, they said as much, and I'm waiting to see if they're actually going to follow through with it and put them all over their website, because I guarantee you they lose subscribers because of it, despite the fact that they are saying that this is what we need to do. And in fact, they justify it with this statement that the right to be offended is a God-given right. And I'm not sure I found that in Holy Scripture. It's something that is part of, again, the ideology of Western liberalism. And that's what that particularly motivated me to write, was the fact that what was yesterday something you'd hear from the left. And I particularly cite the example of the People versus Larry Flint. And I remember that time, and you know, the Morton Downey Jr. and foul-mouthed comedians, and the whole idea was that you see these people, while you may not like what they hear, they guarantee our liberty, because if they can say these extreme things, well, then that protects us from being stopped from saying what we want to say. That was from the left. And now we're seeing the same argument being made from those who speak for conservatism. It's the Playboy Club mentality that that somehow this licentiousness, this kind of deliberate offense to Christian sensibilities and Christian morality is a good thing, and it simply is not, unless the goal is to wipe out the Christian sensibility. Again, that's the contradiction within Western liberalism, is that everyone should be free to do everything, including those things that destroy themselves.
You quote Jonah Goldberg on the issue of the People versus Larry Flint, and the contrast is delicious. You know, writing for National Review, the argument from a supposedly liberty-loving liberals goes like this: we protect the extreme and unpopular speech because if that is safe, they'll never get to our core liberties. If they can ban trash, argue the slippery slopers, what's to stop them from banning criticism of politicians? There's the exact argument you were just outlining. What's a better argument? The argument is essentially, and it used to be, as you say, from liberals, either we allow anything and everything by way of public speech, or our core liberties are immediately in danger. What's a better argument than that?
I think the better argument goes all the way back to the beginning, to the who is the we, because really what the whole notion historically of free speech hinges on something we talked about early in the week, even from what T.S. Eliot talked about in Notes Toward the Definition of Culture, that you cannot have a sustained society without some kind of core religious basis. In the past, it was paganism. Christianity came, and there were conversions in Europe, and so what happens is every society has its lists of do's and don'ts, probably, and especially those who claim they don't have such a list. And so it's the very ones who are saying we should allow free speech who are also are the ones, you know, Barack Obama, for example, talking about hate speech. The laws in Europe and in France were in the Declaration of the Rights of Man, the core of French government philosophy, talks about the glories of the freedom of speech, and yet France has all kinds of laws about things that you cannot say. Every society has these things, and they draw them from their core beliefs. And so then the question becomes, well, what are the core beliefs of the West? I mean, it's such a broad area. How do we even define it anymore? We used to be able to say the commonality was a Christian heritage. We didn't agree on many theological points, Catholics, Lutherans, Orthodox in the East, and now, of course, all the other Protestant denominations. But today, it's what we're all supposed to agree on. And the thing that these liberals, including the Charlie Hebdo folks, wish to impose on the Muslims that they can't say no to when it comes to entering their country, but they wish to impose on them a kind of liberal attitude toward their own religion. So they pound them with these disgusting images, and they assume that the result is going to be that eventually maybe their children will liberalize and say, well, we don't really believe this stuff anyway. It's kind of funny. It's not funny, though. And what we're seeing is the reaping of the whirlwind as a result. You poke this tiger, and this is what happens. Now, I'm not saying in the least bit that I think these people somehow deserve it, or that you know, good riddance or anything like that. But when we talk about the work that they did is part and parcel of the very destructive liberal philosophy that is eroding the very fabric of what used to be called Western civilization.
You also say this, and I'd like you to explain in a little more detail. You say that Western liberalism is not only a false but a pseudo-religion. Its platitudes derive not from divine revelations, real or imagined, but from denatured Christian morality. What are you talking about there, Aaron?
Well, because there is no divine revelation. You know, even Islam has its false revelation of Muhammad giving these getting these things from Allah. And, of course, Christianity, we have the Word of God, and we and other religions that are false have their sacred texts or their sacred prophets and things like that. Western liberalism really has leftovers from what I keep referring to as vestigial Christianity. It has platitudes in place of, you know, Christ saying, love one another as I have loved you. Well, we just kind of say, you know, now in Western liberalism, well, love one another. And well, what does that mean? How do you define it? Against what do you contrast it? And there you have to talk about what hate is. In their case, hate is something that means recognition that others are different. And that's not at all the way the Bible defines hate. But again, we look at the foundations of Western liberalism really as being these abstract philosophies that borrow heavily from Christian morality, but denatured, but with all of the guts kind of boiled out of it.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, as Christians, if we don't allow Charlie Hebdo to print whatever they want, Christians will not have the freedom of speech on issues like abortion, homosexuality, or even the freedom to bear witness to the gospel. So at one end of the spectrum is a cartoon of the Trinity sodomizing one another, the persons of the Trinity sodomizing one another, and at the other end is the gospel, and it's all of one cloth. How do you respond?
Well, it already isn't all of one cloth. I mean, good luck going into any state-funded university and teaching what the Bible says about things like homosexuality or even abortion or having anything to do with anything connected to a public square. I mean, it's already we've reached this point where there is a division. And so, you know, the question for the church is not what is the government going to do, but are we going to be faithful no matter what? And we do know, if history's any guide, that, you know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and that in times of persecution, in times where the voice of the gospel they attempt to silence it, that's when the Holy Spirit moves and prepares people's hearts to hear it. And so, you know, I'm certainly not saying that I look forward to persecution, but we have to look at this all through the lens of Christianity and not through the lens of some kind of political philosophy, which honestly, on the day of judgment, I don't think that the Lord is going to say, well, you know, you may have celebrated these blasphemous cartoons, but at least you upheld free speech.
Finally, then, you say, and I'd like you to kind of bring it all together, summarize your argument that you make in your recent column. You say, what really deserves to die is the liberal notion that free speech is guaranteed by unfettered obscenity. That's the core of it. How would you summarize it?
Well, exactly. Freedom is always a freedom to do something. And again, that goes back to what is the basis of your community, of your society. And the idea that freedom exists in the abstract and that therefore this abstract freedom is preserved, especially freedom of speech, by constantly having your deepest held convictions trampled on in public is a self-contradictory, absurd, and ultimately destructive philosophy, and we've seen the reaping of the whirlwind, unfortunately, with this latest case.
Aaron Wolf is associate editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture. He's author of a recent column for Chronicles titled Reaping the Whirlwind, with Charlie Hebdo. I highly recommend that you read this column, and you can do so at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Aaron, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute, get her response to potential GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush's recent backing off on his position on same-sex marriage. Thank you for helping us make Budget Again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, issues, etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.